Hey, welcome back to the Balance Podcast. Today we are discussing the new Chloe Grace Moretz film, Shadow in the Cloud. It came out last year. I had actually been meaning to watch it for some time. I'm a big fan of hers and a lot of what she's done in her career. And boy, oh boy, is this a namesake episode, because there are some debates, definitely some things we disagree on, but hey, that's the whole reason this podcast started, so it was a great time. Yeah, hope you enjoy it.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance.
Who will bring balance?
Perfectly balanced. This whole thing should
be. And between it all,
balance.
But speaking of dragons, how about gremlins?
Yeah.
How about gremlins. Them gremlins?
So were you expecting gremlins?
I wasn't expecting... yeah, because I read the description or something. Or I saw a photo.
You did.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw something about like creatures or like something dark lurking.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
Within.
Maybe I didn't know gremlins. But the opening scene's like a cartoon that shows gremlins, right? It talks about
them. Oh.
Yeah.
You're right. I totally forgot about that.
So it like just shoots you right in and you're like, oh, gremlins. All right. Uh-huh. And then in, like the next scene too, where it shows Chloe at her locker, like mm-hmm. On her locker, there's like posters or images of gremlins. I'm like, okay.
I didn't notice.
So they just exist in this world? Like, I don't know what they were trying to do exactly.
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that they exist. I'm not sure what they were trying to do there, honestly. Do some sort of a bizarre type of foreshadowing. Because they all seemed pretty like in disbelief at the mention of it. Like, she didn't want to say it when she saw it. Saw it, she didn't want to say what it was, and in fact, she lied at first because she knew what was going to happen. Right?
Yeah.
Shadow in the Clouds.
Shadow in the Clouds. That's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
I'll give it that.
It's interesting to me that if you remove the gremlin monkey creature,
yeah,
I mean, this movie still like works. Like, it's not really necessary.
No.
There's enough happening that the gremlin just can be deleted. I don't know. It might make it a better movie. I'm not sure. Regardless, like, there's already a story there. So part of me is like wanted to make fun of that. Part of me really likes it. The fact that they just took like a story. They're just like, yeah, this could be a story that we could do, like something that like supports like women's rights and got a little feminist, right? But then let's fucking add a gremlin.
Yeah. I guess I didn't like those decisions, man.
The gremlins
or like any like, social opinion agenda or whatever you want to call it. Like the push of it is just like really bothersome. It was just in your fucking face. It's like, yeah, we get it. Like all the airmen, they didn't have one damn conversation in the whole movie that wasn't one of the most obscene things I've ever heard in my life.
It was pretty bad.
It like made Donald Trump saying, I grab him by the, you know what, seem like charming compared to what these fucking guys were saying. It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting. I don't think it's probably not that far-fetched, though.
It was pretty overboard. Maybe, I'm not
saying...
You
think it's far-fetched for military dudes, like, during World War II? Probably not.
I don't know. It was extreme. There was no dialogue other than just disgustingness the whole time. It was like, yeah, we get it. Men are pigs. Like, I don't think it drove the story too much for me.
I don't think I latched onto it quite as much, but I don't know. I guess it was probably heavy-handed on both ends, but I think I was just more focused. Like, the cinematography was really fun when she's in that, the little gunner area or the turret area underneath in the underbelly of the plane.
Yeah.
Like, the whatever they did to shoot all that, stylistically, I thought was beautiful, and it was really fun to see. And in terms of like cinematography, when she's just kind of gives up and is kind of stuck down in the turret for a while, and it's kind of moving around, or she moves it and aims it down so she could look into the clouds. Like, I don't know, the shots were so cool.
I loved it. Yeah. No, I did like that aspect of it for sure. It was actually like, and it gives you like a good sense of claustrophobia. You're like, picture being stuck in there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, you're just glass separating you from thousands of feet, you know?
Sure.
I think that would be the scariest part. Like the claustrophobia would be there, right? But that's all you would really, I mean, mostly have to deal with if you were in the upper turret. But in the lower one, like your entire body is hanging below the plane, which must, I don't know. I think that would drive me insane.
Me too.
I would be so scared.
It would be hard for me to ever like just relax and like get used to it.
Yeah.
It would always be in the back of my head.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, just like look down. It's there. Ah, damn.
I mean, I took my little brother up to the mountains for his birthday a few years ago so we can do zip lining in the woods up near Mount High, right? And it was a great time. And for the most part, I was okay. But like you go and like at the tallest zip line, you're 500 feet up in the air. So you're jumping off of a tree 500 feet up in the air and you can see that, right? And I think I did okay with it until I got to like a bridge where we had to walk across a bridge 500 feet up in the tree line.
Yeah.
And then they asked us for like a photo shoot location. We stopped and sat down on that bridge.
Yeah, hell no, dude. I couldn't do it.
It was, oh my God, it was horrifying, even though I'm like, I have a harness on, I'm connected to two freaking cables, you know?
Right, right, right.
Sitting in that damn plane, I would have had a panic attack and had a heart attack probably. I would have died.
For sure, man. So, you know that feeling of vertigo I'm sure you had sitting on the edge of that bridge?
Yep.
So, the philosopher, I believe it was him who said it, Sartre, he said that vertigo isn't the feeling of being like scared of heights, but it's like the fear of knowing that you could push yourself off, that you're that much in control, like just one small decision, you know, and yeah, your life's yeah. over. Yeah. I was like, that's kind of interesting. That's where the fear comes from, is like your own personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Anyways, so.
You know what's an interesting thing? I can't claim to know a lot about what happened. But the original writer of this film apparently had some pretty serious charges brought up against him for sexual misconduct.
Interesting.
And the director of the film is a woman.
Uh-huh.
This is her second full-length feature. Definitely the biggest, though, in terms of the types of actors it attracted. I mean, Chloe Grace Moretz is pretty big, I would argue.
Yeah.
But apparently the entire script was rewritten several times after the incident happened to try to distance the story from his name. So I wonder if because of that, a lot of additional things got written in that were a little bit more, not political, but
I know what you're saying.
Women's rights.
There's like an ideology or something behind it. A message.
Because there were other things in it too that it did fall flat with the way they handled it. But there was like a moment where Chloe Grace Moretz's character gave this really passionate speech about like who she is as a pilot and this is who I am, and kind of made herself honestly sound better than them, like you better like respect me. And if you like, I will throw this on the table. I do think if that speech would have come out of the mouth of a man, in the context of who these characters are, it would have been a good speech. But it fell completely flat and they just laughed at her. And instead they said, she needs to cool off. Let's cut comms.
Right, right, right.
And she's stuck by herself now.
Which is like a crazy decision on their part. Like, why are these guys assholes? Like to the extreme, right? All of them, just about. Like, why would you cut her comms?
Right.
She's like stuck down there.
Yeah, and I don't know what they're playing with here. I don't know if you did any kinds of research, but I read up a little bit on the commentary that's in this film and story-wise how accurate it may or may not be. And a lot of the things that the crewmen say to her about her not having power and all these different things and how she's not like a real pilot or not a soldier, historically were true because women weren't allowed in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, during World War II. Yeah, it was a different culture back then, for sure. But I think...
Yeah.
Why I mentioned that earlier was just like, yeah, we get it. Because like there are other themes throughout it where it's a little preachy, or not even preachy, just kind of like cheesy. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we get it. We get what you're trying to do here, you know? Yeah. So it's just like the culmination. But I get it. That was the culture back then. For sure, men were pigs and women were treated poorly.
I think that's a question in the film and a huge plot hole. that if, like, are we supposed to ignore what we know is historically true? Because if that's not what the movie is asking of us, well, then their suspicions have a lot of merit. Because right. they know they're in the military. They know the rules, right? So if her claims, she has this paperwork that looks correct, right? But she's claiming all of these things that they've never heard of, you know, the rules changing. They've never heard of anything breaking that, right? And out of nowhere, their commander sends this woman who is not supposed to be able to attain what she's attained to basically order them around? So then it makes sense that they would be so apprehensive to trust her, because in their purview, it doesn't make any sense that she has this much power.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That does make sense. I mean, you know, in terms of plot holes, I don't think there were many. It was just a weird plot.
It was. Were you expecting the baby?
No.
I wasn't at all.
I thought it had maybe something to do with the gremlin, or it was just like maybe something kind of supernatural in a way.
Yeah, I did too.
Why couldn't she have brought the package down with her when she was like, oh, I can't bring it down there with me? She had enough room, no?
Did she? I think it was too narrow. Like, she had like a control console in her lap, right?
I remember watching and being like, she has enough room. Like, it wasn't that big of a box. Yeah. But I guess maybe it was just dangerous down there.
Maybe. I don't know.
Not enough oxygen or some shit.
Some shit.
Dude, but yeah, I mean.
Oh. Yeah, maybe that is what she meant. Like something, like she could have brought it down. But so in that moment, what she was saying is whatever is in the package can't go down there with me. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not how I took it. I took it as couldn't fit too, but I think you're right. That's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because that baby was pretty resilient. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I do know what you're saying. That baby was straight chilling.
My God.
She said she took it to the doctor to get it like calmed down before the flight, right? I need that before flights.
Like, they gave it a, what's it called? Tranquilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that baby was on a ketamine trip, man.
She needed it to not cry, but you know. Even on a tranquilizer, what might wake you up is hanging on the underbelly of a plane.
Dude, that was
being held in the arms of a gremlin.
Just a normal vacation. In the arms of a gremlin. In the arms. Are those dog commercials? Yeah. Rachel McLaughlin? Glocklin?
Yeah.
Is that her?
Rachel McLaughlin? Is that what it's not Rachel, though.
If that was ever a good song, it's not a good song anymore.
Sarah McLaughlin.
There it is. What I say? Yeah. Rachel? No.
Rachel.
Rachel.
That's okay.
So, like, it is funny. So they casted Chloe. And, yeah, I would, like you said, argue that she's, like, pretty big, you know, to cast. But yeah. Everyone else I didn't recognize. And, like...
I didn't recognize any of them, but I don't think I... particularly hated anybody's performance.
No, I didn't hate anyone's performance, but it's just funny seeing the cast and like, so like the main guy, like Chloe's love interest, like yeah. He looked like a Ryan Gosling off of wish.com, you know. It's like that C-level actor, like he's the best looking one. That's that we funny. Could book.
yeah but I thought they did a good job like finding people that I had never heard of, but were still like they were pretty decent actors, I thought.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so there were two aspects to this film. I don't know. I liked and didn't like, right?
Yeah.
And it's that the whole crew, we don't really see them in action, but we hear them throughout most of the film. So okay. We hear conversations, and I do like that.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I only enjoyed it because I had subtitles on. I think maybe without subtitles, it may have gotten a little, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much.
I think one thing I like about it is they were ballsy enough to, they didn't make, I mean, sometimes this is a huge mistake, and maybe in some respects it is for them as well, but they didn't decide on the film they were doing. You know what I mean? Like they decided to do multiple things at once.
Yeah.
So like the whole aspect of, I mean, there's so many different kinds of cinematography in this. And when they're filming from her perspective, just being in that turret, and they're all kind of like in the background, it just feels like a completely different film than when it opens up and she's walking around and talking to them in the plane, or towards the end when she's on the beach. Those don't feel like the same films to me.
No, yeah. They feel different, absolutely.
But there's a tension in it that, like, it holds you, like, in the pit of your stomach throughout, like, that midsection of the movie. And when she gets out, it gets even worse, right? Almost.
Right.
Because now she's on the underbelly of a plane trying to climb around to rescue her baby who's in a basket hanging from the claws, the clutches of a fucking gremlin.
Of a fucking gremlin.
And ridiculous.
I didn't know, like, a gremlin was a thing. So is there just, like, a general term gremlin to describe this kind of creature? I thought gremlins were gremlins that, in, you know, the movie.
Like the movie. Yeah, when I think of movies and gremlins, like, of course, I think of the movie, that the one I grew up with, right? Like the Christmas movie. But yeah, I mean, what they showed in the movie is kind of like, yeah, that's a standard gremlin. Like, yeah, I have that in my head for sure.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Speaking of it, I think their whole budget went to Chloe and special effects because I thought the gremlin looked pretty good.
I did too.
I was actually impressed. I was like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, you got some close-ups of that thing because Chloe Grace Moretz beat the living hell out of it.
Yeah, and CGI is really hard to get my attention as, like, being good.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy it in degrees, but, like, oftentimes I'd rather have practical effects. Just because your eyes notice, you know, your mind notices that's not real, you know? You know that. It kind of messes with you. At least, like, a puppet or something's real. Anyways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the man on the plane, like, do you remember some of what they said?
Not specifically, but yeah, I do remember it was pretty vulgar. And there's one scene where the banter between them, I don't think completely fell flat, that I actually enjoyed her kind of putting her foot down and getting a laugh when she jumped in on their conversation and they didn't realize she was listening.
Yeah.
Like, that was actually funny to me. And I thought she achieved that scene quite nicely. And I thought the guys did really good too. Like, it kind of balanced itself out and then they were kind of chill for a minute. Obviously went to hell again, but
they start laughing though too. They're like, kind of like, oh yeah, shit, she was listening.
Yeah, whoops. Yeah. Sorry about that, hun.
Dude, one of them's name is Taggart, right? And one of the guys says, I'd fuck through Taggart to get to her.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Oh my God.
It's like, ew, what the fuck? I've never heard that expression before.
You know, it was, I mean, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but when you know it was one of my favorite scenes in the film?
What?
Dude, I rewound it like 3 or 4 times, laughing my ass off, like super excited. I was like, hell yeah, that just happened, right? There's this whole scene, it's so great, where she shot the gremlin, right? And the gremlin like kind of falls off to the side, and this motherfucker keeps coming back. Anyways,
He's like Michael Myers.
Yeah, she rescues her baby with a freaking pipe. What this woman like would not have been able to hang on like that, right?
No one would have been able to hang
on.
There's
no way.
That. No.
Like it was not violent enough. Like I think Tom Cruise made this look a little bit more realistic in Mission Impossible.
Right. This was like, no, it just can't happen.
Right. So she gets her baby kind of like hides it in the little nook and cranny of the plane that was been torn open by the gremlin, right? And then eventually finds this weird opening and slings her baby over. Some Japanese planes come around. The plane shakes. She falls loose and she falls out of the freaking plane and is then projected back up into the plane from the force of an explosion of a Japanese fighter pilot below her. Ridiculous.
It's so
thank you very much.
It's so
I watched
ridiculous.
It so many times. I loved it.
I watched it twice and it was only to be like, what the fuck just happened?
I know.
I didn't like it though.
I loved it.
I was like, dude, that's stupid.
It is stupid, and I liked it. And
it's so stupid it's so you dumb. Like it. Kind of like a dog that's so ugly it's cute. Oh.
No, man, I loved it. It was like, you know what it was? It was Sharknado. It was stupid fun. It was like what I look for in a shitty sci-fi flick. And then you get one of the soldiers, one of the biggest asshole soldiers, with this coming in with this random maniacal laugh looking at her, right? And goes, well, Jesus H. Christ, if it isn't the love of my life, welcome back to the party, baby. And then he gets shot and he's dead.
Right. I was wondering, was he in shock? Was he just like crazy from what was happening?
Well, no, I will think he was just tripping because he watched her get blown the fuck in and he was tripping out about it.
He watched
that happen, only he was there. Well, right. Jesus H. Christ, I think I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to speak.
Right, right. No.
But I just, dead. Like, immediately, you know, the Japanese kill him.
You wouldn't be able to speak because, wait, who? As who? Oh, I got lost. Anyways.
That's okay.
So, do you think they were paying homage to the Twilight Zone with that creature on the wing, how she first sees it? Do you remember?
Maybe.
You know what I'm talking about with John Lithgow? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was like thinking that like 100%. I was like, dude, that's like the same kind of thing. Looking out at the wing of a plane and there's a creature like tearing it up.
Tearing it up. You know, I didn't realize what kind of a creature kind of thing it was going to be, or how big it would be. So when we're looking out and she's looking for Japanese planes and she sees like the shadow in the clouds or whatever, I thought it was going to be a big ass monster at first.
Okay.
And it wasn't. She was seeing the shadow of a Japanese pilot. But yeah, that's what I was looking out for. I was looking for something like, I don't know, just way more like haunting than a gremlin picking apart the plane slowly.
Right. For sure.
So essentially, the whole idea of this movie was basically this woman joined the military to escape her abusive husband, had an affair while in the military, while overseas, had a baby out of wedlock while cheating on her husband. Her husband finds out, comes to get her. She's needing to run away at this point.
Yeah, man. It's a twisted plot. There's
right.
Lots of, it's like intricate.
And she stole the order. She stole these papers from this lieutenant. And that's the only reason she's given herself any legitimacy.
But so, she is in the Air Force, right?
She is. I forgot what the squadron's called, but it was like a special women's division that is not connected to the military and, in fact, is not allowed to fly missions, as she states she's done so many times.
Right.
Over 200 times.
Right. Yeah, the guys, again, not to go back to them, but they were so relentless. Like, how did they find this group of men to get together? You know what I mean? Who thought that was a good idea to make this a team?
I mean, well, they kind of foreshadowed that, right? When she first gets there, the whole crew is in an uproar about their plane having a woman. But like before she walks into the plane, she lingers on it and stares. And there's a painting of a plane, like of a woman scantily dressed, like riding a missile.
Yeah.
So like from the get-go, it felt like she's about to like enter a den of lions of sorts. Like she, like you could see the look on her face. Like she knew this was not going to be a good place for her to be. And she probably already knew, right? Because the father of this baby was on the plane.
Yeah. So he was a crewman.
Right.
They knew
each
other.
And he was the only decent one amongst them, the only kind one amongst them, which I was just like, wow, he's like, and then you find out why.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Do you think they had a conversation before? Like, hey, honey, like this is the only way we're going to be safe and we're going to be free, but you might get harassed nonstop on this plane. You know, you're going to be really uncomfortable.
She did it behind his back, right?
Did she?
Yeah. He didn't know about the baby.
Oh, he didn't know about the baby. That's right. Yeah.
She did it behind his back because she wasn't sure how he was going to react. But then, okay. Well, I think I'm realizing something in the moment, which is that she did not realize that that was his crew.
Oh, okay.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, you're still risking something by being around and seeing them. But, you know, I guess it worked out, right?
Yeah. You know, I thought it was cool. I thought her having a broken arm to conceal the gun was pretty cool.
I did, too. And when she brought that gun out.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, shit. But I thought it was going to be something more like, oh, this chick's a badass. And then when she dropped like the British accent, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like,
she's taking control. And I believed her that she was somebody important in the American government.
Oh, I did too.
I totally believed it. And I was like, oh, this is a cool twist. I'm down with this.
Yeah.
I almost wish that would have been the the actual direction of the film.
I think so too.
It would have gone way more weird and sci-fi rather than the simple turn. And maybe they were trying to do something unique by doing that. But I mean, you know, I'll admit it. I'm a basic bitch. I didn't want something unique. I wanted a good sci-fi.
Yeah. Not only did you get a good sci-fi, but you got one of those Saw moments where she puts her finger in the hatch.
Oh, yeah.
To like try to keep it from opening, which is a terrible idea.
I was waiting for that thing to rip off.
Oh, and like her finger not only like bent, but it like stretched.
Yep.
It was like disgusting looking. And then she had to crack
that thing back.
Awful.
Truly awful.
You know, and I kept thinking, like, why don't they believe her at this point? Was it because she was a woman? Like, just because they did say, like, oh, her, she sounds like nails on a chalkboard. She's hysterical. But like the whole time I was thinking, I was like, why haven't they fucking believed her already? Like, who are these guys?
Yeah, well, I know. So there's certain things, and some of them do want to believe her, right? Most of them not. I guess it's just that she's a woman and that she, again, that's why I keep bringing up all these inconsistencies with her claims of where she is within their military and as a servicewoman and like where they were in the times, which would have given credence to their disbeliefs, even though she had this paperwork that was so legitimate. Like one of them kept saying, well, you know, it's this lieutenant and I'm not going to go against him. I'm not going to risk, you know, I don't care whether or not she's telling the truth. This paperwork says she is, and I don't want to risk it.
Right. And it wasn't until, like, things got really bad where, like, they're like, no, we're... What? Oh, no. Dude, I just... Nothing.
I mean... It's all good, man. I mean, like, I think what you were getting at, though, is, like, the ridiculousness of them not believing her, I don't think that really ever ended completely, because, I mean... I think you're right. What you were getting at is like when it was crazy enough, they kind of dropped that, but they didn't really drop it until people started dying.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Because they were like, I'll suffer the consequences if it's lieutenant, whatever. Like they finally like, oh, because they want to open the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Sorry. That's where my mind was going. And then it lost it, yes. Found it, lost it, got it. I had to spit it out before I lost it again.
But they weren't willing to do that until the captain took credit and was just like, all right, fine. Took ownership of the punishment.
Right.
As it were. And that decision paid off because they found a freaking baby, as we had said.
Right.
Turns out the dad is a good dude. He loves her. He wants her. And then the plane crashes.
And you know what I was thinking the whole time? So we have these Japanese like attacking, right? So the plane was already malfunctioning from the gremlin ripping it apart, right? Some engines were going down. Right. Like, and I felt like it was like a 5 to 10 minute scene of like almost nonstop barrage of bullets of like the Japanese just shooting that plane.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, why it hasn't gone down yet? Because she shoots the Japanese plane for like 10 seconds.
Which was kind of badass.
Yeah, it was cool to see.
It was a fun scene.
But it was like, why are you still floating in the air?
Why was I over there thinking of Chewbacca?
I can't do Chewbacca.
I can't either. I'm not even going to try. I can't roll my R's for shit.
Can you not? Try. Let me just hear it really quick.
No. Oh man, so they're storming the beach.
They are storming the beach. And then who shows up?
That damn monkey demon.
So before they hit the beach though, they have to do a crash landing, right? And they do like that flight maneuver. Right? In the movie Flight, where he goes upside down.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, like that's pretty unique to Flight. So I for one, I was just like, okay, is this another homage or something like that? But then I was also like, thought like, oh, Denzel, we should have watched the Denzel movie instead.
Oh
man.
That is a good movie though. That is a great movie.
So it's like the plane crashes and then she looks back and then she sees the box that the baby was in and it's crushed and there's like a pool of blood coming out from it, but then it pans back to her and she hadn't looked back yet. It was just kind of her envisioning it, you know.
Dude, I had honestly totally forgot about that, but I remember it thoroughly now, and I was like,
oh, it's like grody.
I had a lot of anxiety for that moment.
I know. For sure. I'm glad they didn't go that route.
Honestly, like, the whole, like, strong woman vibe of the movie, my favorite moment of it was her just losing her shit on that freaking gremlin in the water.
Punching the shit out of it.
No, I thought it was cool, man.
I don't know.
I was into it.
They had like the dad on the beach holding the baby while she's like, here, hold this kid. And she goes and like hand-to-hand combats a fucking gremlin while the husband's just holding the baby. Like, it's like another message. It's like, yeah, we fucking get it. Women can be strong and men can be, you know, take care of the baby. Like,
Well, that's interesting because I'll be completely honest with you. I did not think about it. I just enjoyed whatever the action was in the moment. But had the roles been reversed, would you have been bothered by the woman just sitting there with the baby and not going after the gremlin?
I think it would be more likely that a man could hand-to-hand combat a gremlin.
But she's been the one actively fighting this thing the whole movie through.
Not physically. Like, she has had a gun.
Yeah, still. Like, she's been messed with severely, and this thing has continuously tried to catch her baby, so she's super pissed off. Like, there is, like, something in, like, the realm of, like, psychology where there's studies that have, like, affirmed that, like, mothers, like, when their kids are, like, at great risk, sometimes express things like almost near superhuman strength where they're able to lift a car and stuff like that. Like, there's weird concepts like that that are actually in reality. So, like, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that she would be the one to, like, run after this thing when she's been, like, freaking tortured by the thing for the last, what, couple hours? Like, this thing has been fucking with her, like, this entire movie. She's got, like, wounds all over the place. And so, like, and again, it's still trying to take her freaking baby. I don't know what this thing's fascination is with this child.
I don't either. I didn't fully understand.
Why did it keep coming back?
It was like a raptor, like, looking for eggs. Or was that a raptor? One of those dinosaurs. Remember those dinosaurs?
You wanted to eat it? But maybe. That just kind of goes back to your thing that I completely missed with her, like, what were they, stickers of gremlins or gremlin posters or?
Yeah, they looked like little, like, almost like comics or something, but they were like little old-timey looking, I would just say stickers, I guess, on the locker. Yeah. So it's just like, do they exist in that, their world? Because, like, all of them were surprised, like, what the fuck is that? But, like, pardon me, but they named it by name. They're like, oh, it's a fucking gremlin. If I saw that thing, I wouldn't know what to call it. Like, what the fuck is that shit? I wouldn't have a name for it. Probably call it a gargoyle.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you ever watch that cartoon, Gargoyles?
Of course.
Oh, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. You need to read The Gargoyle, one of my favorite books. Anyways, can I read you my final note for this film that I wrote down?
Yes.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Moretz kills that mofo, then breastfeeds, and movie.
Yeah, dude. Well, there's another thing. I'm telling you, man. It's not that, oh, it's not, it's beyond the realm of possibility that this would happen. It's a culmination of all the, like, stereotypes and the messaging.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, the breastfeeding. It was like, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
It's heavy-handed. I would kind of be curious to hear the director's take on, like, what she was going for with all that, because I think it was overtly very heavy-handed intentionally. Now, I'll say, like, as far as, like, action films from, like, the 80s and stuff, or, you know, like, just, like, old school action sci-fi types of movies, like, there's a lot of tropes you could be like, wow, this is pretty heavy-handed on the male side, right? Like, overtly masculine, like, we get it, you're strong, we get it. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that on the male side too. So I'm curious if there's going to be more and more things like this that are kind of on the opposite side of that spectrum, where it's just, like, overtly hyper feminine, you know. I'm just curious if we're going to see more of that now that there's a stronger influence in with women in Hollywood.
We might, and I have no problem with that, but here's what I think. Here's my main problem, is that I feel like a lot of films that are heavy-handed sacrifice creative integrity for the sake of trying to be, you know, send some kind of political or social message. And I think that takes away from something that's creative, because you're not necessarily making the best choice for the art. You're making, you know, you're trying to influence people, which I get. I mean, that art's a good medium to do that, but there needs to be a fine balance. And I don't think this had it. Yeah.
I get you. And I think that's why I was trying to compare it to more heavy-hated, heavy-masculine, like, action films.
Right,
so
right.
If was this meant to be, like, quote-unquote art? Like, was this meant to be a B-movie? I don't know. I don't know what the director was going for. But, like, if this is, like, a new, like, genre direction that's, like, heavy-handed in the realm of feminism and, like, ultra-violent and kind of stupid in some regards in a way that some ultra masculine like old sci-fi films are in the Sci-Fi Network, then I don't know, it could be something cool for a different audience. It's not really my bag. I didn't really dig it too much. I didn't hate it either. Yeah. There's a lot of things about the movie that I loved, like some of the stupider moments I loved. Like, I already told you that whole scene where she gets blown back up into the plane.
Yeah.
I think stuff like that is like hilarious to watch. It was fun for me to watch. I had a good time watching those scenes.
Right. You want to know my final note?
Yeah.
Can I share it with you?
Yes, please.
That felt longer than 80 minutes.
I won't disagree with you there.
I honestly, like, an hour or like even like 50 minutes in, I was like, man, this is almost over, right? And then it was like still a half hour.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the movie ends with like the plane burning and just somehow that one section of the woman's face sets on fire and burns, right? Like that stereotypical like chick with big tits with the plane missile, whatever it was. That was like another thing. I'm like, okay, we get it. You said it 1,000 times in a different ways. We get it. Anyways, so listen. I thought they had some cool elements to it. I thought Chloe did fine. She did good. I thought her acting was good. I thought she was probably too talented probably for this film to be in it.
Same. Yeah.
Like I said, there are some aspects that I liked. Many that I didn't like. I'm giving this a 4 out of 10.
Okay. That's not really a surprise. I mean, I'm not going to be too long-winded about it. I've already said what I liked about it. I'm going to give it a 6.
Okay. So for a balanced score of 5. 5 out of 10 people. Shadow in the clouds.
Shadow in the cloud.
Oh, just the cloud. It's a single cloud. Shadow in the cloud.
One cloud? It is just one cloud. But it's many Japanese ships and one gremlin.
Just one little gremlin.
Sorry, not ships, planes.
We're in the air. Anyways.
God damn it.
Thanks for listening, people. I guess I'd recommend watching it just for the sake of watching it. It makes good conversation.
Keep your babies inside the plane, people.
Yeah, man. Strap that motherfucker in. Anyways,
Ooh. We
have a ton of other podcasts on. And when I say a ton, I mean like 12 others. Go back and listen, people. Please.
Go back and check them out, please.
We'd appreciate it. And so hit that subscribe button. Anyways.
Subscribe.
Thanks for listening. We love you
all. Goodbye.
Peace.